Amazon is hiring near you. Start as soon as 7 days. No resume or experience required. Earn an additional $2 an hour through April. Health and safety are a top priority with all of our roles and sites. Amazon is taking precautions in our buildings to keep people healthy. Learn more or find a job now at amazon.com/apply. That's amazon.com/apply. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer.
Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the 2-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 84 of Tatooine Sons. It's been a slow Star Wars week, so we've decided to take a deep dive into Star Wars trading cards of the past 4 decades. Or we could talk about the Rise of Skywalker sizzle reel, the Mandalorian trailer, the Kenobi announcement, and more than we can probably fit into an hour.
Stay calm, stay calm.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. It's true.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Tervis?
Do. Oh, do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look in all things Star Wars, from the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his 2 sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achuta Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you probably weren't up at 5 a.m. waiting for the Rise of Skywalker sizzle reel to drop.
I was. I was up at 4:15, just because... That's when I get up, but I was waiting, like, intently for...
What time did it actually release?
Not till 6:18 by the time they finally... They announced at, like, 5:55 Mountain Time that it was going to air at 6:17 or something. Or 8:17 Eastern, 6:17 our time. And so then I kept waiting, and it was about a minute late. And everybody was losing their minds on social media because it wasn't airing yet. But they were losing their minds already, so anyway.
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, Bowtie Jedi Guy.
Well, happy back to school day, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah? You're not really... You look a little tired, a little worn out.
A little bit.
It was a crazy first day of college, but congratulations.
Well, I've still got another kind of first day tomorrow. I mean, it was the first day for 2 of my classes, and then I got a first day for the other 2 classes tomorrow.
Go back to these 2 Wednesday and the other 2 on Thursday?
Yep.
And then you have nothing Friday.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just a lot of homework.
Well, you've already had a lot of homework. Yeah. You're working on a lot.
I've been doing school pretty much all day except for lunch.
Well, welcome to the real world.
I know.
Right? But these homeschoolers, you guys get lazy when you're done by noon, right, BB Nate?
Sure.
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 So, hey, but first day of high school?
It was fine.
Yeah? I mean, it's not that big a deal when you're... So I've got a lady at my work whose daughter's 16 years old, and she's, I think, like... almost 17, but she's been homeschooling, and she just qualified for the police training academy here in Colorado Springs. She's going to be a police officer.
Wow.
And she's, like, barely, not even 17 yet.
Can she?
Because she already graduated high school.
Can she do that though? She's.
I guess she qualified. She got accepted yesterday.
Wow.
Or this weekend or something.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. So this weekend was Colorado Springs Comic Con.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun. Tell us about your experience. Like highlight. Highlight of Colorado Springs Comic Con.
I didn't really necessarily have a highlight per se. I mean, the Star Wars panel was fun. And not really a highlight, though. It was just all kind of fun for me.
Okay,
so, cool. I don't agree with them. I didn't have like a super big thing. I was like, oh my gosh, that was so cool. It was just a lot of fun to just hang out there. It was cool.
Yeah, I really did enjoy the Batman panel that we went to last Saturday morning with the artists, both Nolans that were on there. That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Star Wars panel.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, behind-the-scenes kind of guys with it. But Brian Herring was one of them, mm-hmm. who obviously does BB-8. But even more importantly, he does the Porgs. And so, BB-8, you asked him a question. What was your question that you asked him at the live Q&A?
Is there any chance we'll see Porgs in The Rise of Skywalker?
And he said, I cannot answer that question.
Yeah, he said, I can't discuss The Rise of Skywalker.
That's what he said. Yeah, no. And so I replied to him on Twitter later, and I said, thanks for being a good sport about it and everything. He replied back and said, he totally understood. And he said, you'll just have to wait to see in December. Which to me, far. I was like, yeah, that's a chance right there, baby. Because anyway.
I ain't seen any in the well, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, so.
Anyway.
And then we've been having lots of baking going around the house the last few weeks, a couple of days.
We didn't talk about Nathan's amazing cosplay.
Oh my gosh, your cosplay was great yesterday. So Nathan went and got a Fortnite shirt, and then Sam rigged a gamer tag. Is that what that's called?
They're called gamer tags, yeah.
Gamer tag to hover above his head using some wire and
a wire hanger
or whatever, and poster board and stuff. And he wore like gaming headphones around his neck. But the best part of it was that the gamer tag said, I'm blanking now. Noob Master 69. Yeah, which is obviously a throwback to Endgame. Mm-hmm. That was the gamer that Thor threatened. It was awesome. He was a hit yesterday. We were walking around. And
everyone.
People were just, it'd be funny. You'd see them look at him a little bit confused for a second. And then you'd see like this light bulb go off and this grin creep across their face. And then the next thing you know, they'd start laughing and be like, oh, I love it or something like that. Right. Had lots of people. We had a bro Thor attack you.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That was cool. So yeah, we had a real good time.
Lots of fun.
Yeah, it was. We did get a couple of reviews. Can you want to quit clicking on my cords while I'm recording a podcast here, dude?
I'm going to screw something up.
I know. We're going to lose our mic or something. Stop touching stuff.
I'm not touching anything.
All right. We had a couple reviews. They were amazing, like all of our reviews are. You guys are the best. You treat us so much better than we probably deserve. but it makes us feel good, and we've been plugging it like that. So thank you. We've got 2 5-star reviews. First one is from Dennis Perebsky. You know, he's listed as a top fan of ours on our Facebook page.
That's cool.
He likes and comments on just about everything.
It's funny because I will get top fan though on certain Facebook groups
that you don't even interact with.
Never interact.
He interacts with us a lot.
Yeah, so. I just wonder how that works. Like, what's that?
It's like they're trying to tease you to get on.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know how that works, but Dennis got it.
And, that's cool though.
5 stars, and he said hello there, which is ironic, seeing one of the things we're going to be talking about. This was actually the 24th, so that was Saturday that he did this. He goes 5 out of 5 stars. I'd give you a 10. If it were an option. Wow, that's pretty
great. Great ratio. Don't get cocky.
It would be the same, yeah. Every week I wait in great anticipation for the release of Tatooine Sun's newest podcast episode, and it never disappoints. Wow. It is a fantastic and incredibly well-made Star Wars podcast with a fun soundboard, including lines from the films.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
I just had to pick one. It was actually very true. That are played during the appropriate times. That one might have been a little inappropriate.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Probably not. Sorry about that, Dennis. I also enjoy that it is family-oriented show while also being fun and informative. I would never have heard about it unless I listened to the great guys at Chatter Squadron. Yeah. We like those guys a lot.
They are pretty cool. They're hilarious, too.
They never can hear your head nod. That's Nathan's head nodding. Yeah, which has now taken a back seat.
Wow.
To this podcast. That's like a high level of praise, in my opinion, because I think those guys over there, Tyler and Mike over at Chatter Squadron, are doing some amazing work.
Yeah. In my opinion, they're way better than we are, but.
But you know,
don't tell them that
we said that. Sorry, guys. He's apologizing to Chatter Squadron. He goes, Tatooine Sons is my number one favorite Star Wars podcast now.
Wow,
that's pretty amazing.
Out of all the podcasts you could be listening to,
BB Nate's nodding again. Okay, keep up the great work, guys. I hope to meet you all one day, maybe in Anaheim next year. Well, we're going to be there, Dennis. So if you're there, we're meeting up. Okay. May the force be with you always. Smiley face and thumb and emoji. Hashtag make Turbis canon. Hashtag Bendemption. Hashtag the rise of Skywalker. Very nice. Say thank you or something, BB Nate.
Stop nodding.
You're too kind.
Yeah, he is too kind. Sorry. Nathan doesn't like compliments. He gets nervous with them. So, best Star Wars podcast is the next one. 5 stars. Again, Tatooine Sons has quickly become my go-to Star Wars podcast.
Wow.
Another very high praise. This is from JediFan28. Each episode is filled with great discussions, and I love how they incorporate all aspects of the canon, movies, TV shows, books, etc., into their speculation and theories. It's just a lot of fun. If you're a Star Wars fan, I highly recommend this awesome family-friendly podcast. Thank you, Tatooine Sons. Well, thank you. We greatly appreciate that amazing kind
words.
Those words that of amazing praise. So,
I had a hard time there.
That's just hard to know what to say when people are saying that kind of stuff about our show. So
why are we your favorite podcast?
If you knew how much of a train wreck this show is before and after, and half the time during, you probably would not have the same review. But thank you guys.
That's why we only do the live streams for our Patreons.
That's right. Our Patreons people know. So if you want behind the scenes, you can join our Patreon. Go on our page. We can do a live link every week when we record. You guys can watch us on our Facebook Live group. Or a Facebook group. You can watch us live on that, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. So go to patreon.com/TatooineSons. Also, this podcast today is brought to you by Audible, so you can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/TatooineSons. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And you can now pick up Black Spire by Delilah Dawson. It was just released this past Tuesday.
Do people still use MP3s?
I don't know. Here's a description. It actually really sounds interesting. It says, walk the ancient streets, meet the colorful characters, and uncover the secret history of Star Wars Galaxy Edge, the new expansion of the Disney Parks experience. After devastating losses at the hands of the First Order, General Leia Organa has dispatched her agents across the galaxy in search of allies, sanctuary, and firepower. And her top spy, Vi Marati, may have just found all three on a secluded world at the galaxy's edge.
Wait, Kaz isn't her top spy?
No. We love you, Christopher Sean, but obviously, you know, that's just not who you are. Okay. A planet of lush forests, precarious mountains, and towering petrified trees. Batuu is on the furthest possible frontier of the galactic map, the last settled world before the mysterious expanse of wild space. Unknown regions. The rogue smugglers and adventurers who eke out a living on this on the largest settlement on the planet, Black Spire Outpost, are here to avoid prying eyes and unnecessary complications. Via resistance spy on the run from the First Order is hardly a welcome guest, and when a shuttle full of stormtroopers lands in her wake, determined to root her out, she has no idea where to find help. To survive, Vi will have to seek out the good-hearted heroes hiding in a world that redefines scum and villainy. With the help of a traitorous trooper and her acerbic droid, she begins to gather a colorful band of outcasts and misfits and embarks on a mission to spark the fire of resistance on Batuu before the First Order snuffs it out.
What's
entirely. I don't know.
You don't even know?
I don't. All right. So you can get that for free. Listen to the audiobook version of it right now. Go to audibletrial.com/TatooineSons. And then what else? Did we talk about the cookies? You guys distracted me from the cookies.
I'm sorry.
I was going to talk about the cookies. Mom has started her bakery business, and it's like really taken off. And we want to tell everybody that's listening to our show how awesome it is. And she can send cookies, and she can send banana bread all throughout the 48 United States. And she's got a deal.
Only 48?
Right. I don't know if we're getting it to Alaska or Hawaii. And for all of our listeners in Japan and Uruguay, we were like big in Uruguay last week, by the way, on the charts. Yeah. I don't. And there was another country.
We have fans in Australia, too.
We've got, yes.
Sorry about all the people that are not
international.
London. But if you're in the 48 contiguous United States, that's a big word, contiguous. That means they're all connected.
Can you just say contiguous?
No, it's contiguous.
Why?
Because that's the right word. For all of you there, if you want to get an amazing loaf of banana bread and homemade from scratch chocolate chip cookies, you can go to her Facebook page. Just go and search on Facebook. Christie's, like C-H-R-I-S-T-Y, Christie's Baked Bites, and you'll find her page, and she's got specials running on there, and you can order, and she like takes PayPal and Venmo, and we want to plug mom's
Zelle
stuff. And Zelle.
She takes, I didn't
know
Zelle.
That. I didn't know what Zelle was.
Me either.
All right, anyway. But yeah.
She's really
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we get into this week's podcast poll results? Last week's podcast poll results.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it. What? No!
All right, so last week's podcast poll was all about Kenobi, because last week's episode we were predicting Kenobi was going to get announced, which
quickly got outdated.
Spoiler alert. It did. Okay, which potential Kenobi storyline most excites you? We can get listed three and let you guys come up with your own. Force Ghost Qui-Gon Jinn, Aiding the Rebellion, Retelling of Twin Sons, or Other Comment Below. Other Comment Below was the lowest ranking, but still a pretty good showing for one that isn't unspecific like that. 11% was good. Aiding the Rebellion got 12%. I'm a little surprised by that. Retelling of Twin Sons got 15%. I actually am really surprised by that. I just feel like, why would you want to retell the same story in live action? And then running away with it, like not even close. It was a blowout in ways that you can't even begin to describe. It was Force Ghost Qui-Gon Jinn with 62%. Are you surprised that that was the one that won?
No. Not really, no. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to see Force Ghost Qui-Gon, so.
Yeah.
So, my lord.
Your chair is squeaky today.
Chairs. It wasn't squeaky last week. Anyway, so our first comment is from Allison Kastner. I believe that's
Kastner, yeah.
Kastner. Mm-hmm. At Allie Kastner. She said, watching over Luke, wouldn't mind the canonization of him rescuing Luke from the Sand People attack that was in the comics.
Mm.
I would love some Force Ghost Qui-Gon, but in his exile on Tatooine, he must have thought of what might have been with Satine. I'd love to see him struggle with his grief.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting idea of like thinking back with regret over his lifetime and stuff like that. And thinking about like love lost with Satine and stuff like, especially with the way that the novelization of the Revenge of the Sith ends, where basically Yoda tells Kenobi that they complete the entire Jedi history, the history of the Jedi Order, missed the mark on the what would overcome the dark side, and they said it was love. And so now he's like, obviously he was in love with Satine, and we know that from the Clone Wars series. So that would have been an interesting one.
The next one is Lynn Voxamillion.
Good job.
It's a very interesting. And her Twitter handle is at Link Voxamillion.
Mm-hmm.
Standoff with Tusken Raiders, defending homesteads, saving Luke and his friends while pretending to just be a weird old man, almost like a vigilante in keeping his secret identity.
Yeah, that's a cool idea of him, like...
Well, Luke knows who he is, though, Beth.
Yeah, but he calls him that crazy old wizard.
Crazy old hermit or something like that.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's this idea that Luke, I mean, obviously doesn't know who Ben Kenobi is.
No, not to the extent.
He doesn't even know that Ben knew his father until we get to A New Hope. Right. So Yeah, that's an interesting one. This one I loved a lot. Ricky Howell. Is that the same one from last week?
Yeah,
same one. All right, so we only did two this week. Did I miss one? I must not have deleted it. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about if this is the same dude from last week.
No, it was the same tweet. I messed up.
Boo.
And we mentioned earlier that this can be a train wreck.
It's a train wreck, yeah.
That was it.
That's example one.
Yeah, so, well, on that note, we have a lot of other things to talk about, so that's why we just decided to go up with only two comments this week.
Oh, yes, totally.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Why don't we go ahead and talk about the next series of things. So, while the big news out of T23 Expo is the sizzle reel for The Rise of Skywalker, there were several other major revelations during the Disney Plus panel 1 week ago, including a new official segmentation of Star Wars history, cast and character announcements for The Mandalorian, and Ewan McGregor finally gives Star Wars fans a straight answer. It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right, so Star Wars canon is being divided up into three distinct periods.
Oh.
Did you guys hear about this yet?
I remember that they released a comic series kind of
They did. It's very interesting. So according to Gizmodo, this is their article, but it was all over. When they did the D23, the Disney Plus panel, they showed this sort of Marvel-esque timeline.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was pretty strange with the whole squiggly lines.
They were adding things to it as they were announcing a certain series and such with it. But they divided it into three distinct categories. So you have the Age of Republic, encompassing The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Clone Wars, and Revenge of the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Age of Rebellion, encompassing Star Wars Rebels, Solo, A Star Wars Story, Rogue One, A Star Wars... Oh, that's the same one, yeah. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and New Hope, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. And then you have the last grouping, which is the Age of Resistance, encompassing Star Wars Resistance, The Mandalorian. Interestingly, they're including that in Age of Resistance. Hmm. The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, and The Rise of Skywalker.
And Galaxy's Edge.
They did
right.
That. They did
right yeah. At the end of Resistance, and funny enough, Rise of Skywalker also fits right at the end of Resistance.
Both of them connect at the end of the Resistance series. You may want to go back to sometime in March and listen to the craziest Star Wars theory episode that we did, because we believe it's all coming to a head right there at that point. And apparently it is. So, okay. Samuel Hutt, do you like this idea? What do you think about this as far as the future of Star Wars storytelling?
No, I do like it. It helps clear up the timeline a bit, just segment everything. That way, people kind of coming into it now can kind of get a feel of what's where and what that means, you know. And just the names are cool. You know, Age of Republic, Age of...
Rebellion,
Age of Resistance. It just sounds cool. What is interesting that you pointed out is that the Mandalorian is in the Age of Resistance, which, I mean, yeah, it is after Episode 6, which kind of makes sense, but I would have thought it would have kind of been in the Age of Rebellion, but again, very, very interesting. I would love to see why they did that in a couple months.
I'm like, whoa! So we were thinking about the Mandalorian. This Mandalorian goes for a bounty to... save this child, or
that's what I think it's going to
go.
Yeah.
Has a balance.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's not talk too much about that.
And I just had this weird, crazy theory. And like,
we'll come to that in just a second. What do you think about this? Just the different segmentations.
I like how. I mean, I remember the comic series for Boba Fett coming out in the Age of, I think Rebellion.
Yeah, it was Age of Rebellion.
Age of Republic had a Qui-Gon, Jango Fett, and Age of Resistance had a Kylo. I think they had a Kylo.
Yeah,
They did a Kylo. They've done a Phasma. They're doing a Snoke, I think.
It's pretty cool. Just all of the... It's much easier to... For people who don't know, like, where the timeline fits, or, like, people who aren't, like, big Star Wars fans, it's like, oh, so that fits into the Age of Republic.
That's cool. I also think it's, like you were saying, when we were just a minute ago, BB Nate, I think it is really interesting to see on the official timeline that... As Resistance comes to a close, I don't think it was ever intended to go beyond the end of the Skywalker saga, the Resistance series. It ends, and at that exact same moment is when Galaxy's Edge takes place, and right after that is where...
So, it's the timeline's basically, there's two levels of things, and the top level has the Rise of Skywalker, and Resistance has like a little fork showing where the timeline would fit.
Which starts before... Force Awakens.
I think so, yeah.
It does. It does, because the series starts before Force Awakens, and then it like hooks over to where you're talking about, Rise of Skywalker.
Yes,
so it goes through Last Jedi all to the end.
Yes, but there's not much of a gap then. Because if you look, it is a pretty small fork.
They're connected.
It's really close together, apparently, so there's not much of a gap between Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker. But... at the end of the little fork, Galaxy's Edge doesn't have a place to put the place where it would go into the timeline. It has to collide with the end of Resistance, and then Rise of Skywalker is literally right on top of it.
So there's just like one after another.
No, yeah, it's like together.
It's together.
Yeah. That's interesting. Now, we finally got the Mandalorian trailer.
No.
But this is not the same one that they showed at Star Wars Celebration. No, they showed sort of a rough cut collection of clips, and then they showed a segment
like
from...
like maybe 5-10 minutes
at most of the first episode. And it was gorgeous, but it wasn't nearly as gorgeous as the Mandalorian trailer. Sam, what were your thoughts on the trailer in general?
My first thought was, wow, this looks like a movie trailer. I mean, it literally is good enough to be up there with like a Rogue One trailer or something. It's phenomenal. But the overall vibe I got from it is that this is going to be one gritty, dark
TV show. If you open up, the very first scene is Pikes on what is inevitably Tatooine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
These Pikes in the ground standing up with stormtrooper helmets on them.
Just like staked on the top.
And it's not exactly clear whether or not there's anything in that head or in that helmet.
I'm hoping there's not, but
I mean, it's intense. And then, you know, the action and everything else. What was your general thoughts on the trailer, BB Nate?
I just thought it was very... I feel like we got a lot of stuff, but then we didn't. I feel like we got a lot of stuff about the feel of how the show would work, but I feel like we didn't get much plot.
Much ado about nothing, pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah. Not a lot of plot, not a lot of character.
Now I know what I should expect from the show. I don't know what to expect from the story.
Right. Oh, that's a great way of putting that. What was your favorite shot?
Oh, Lord. I'm kind of tied between two scenes. One is you're in, I'm guessing it's the Ravencrest.
Yeah.
Where you see this alien in carbonite, and then you can see behind it that there's multiple people in carbonite. Like, this dude's not just got one guy, he's got a bunch of guys.
Like, it's become the way that bounty hunters transport their cargo now.
Right, because they found out that it's actually safe, which is, I thought that was really cool. But
I love that.
I can't decide between that or the one scene which really told me that this is not going to be a very... happy show. Is I guess it was some like fight in like a bar, I guess, or a cantina, and the Mandalorian just takes out like three people, and this one dude's trying to run outside the door, and the Mandalorian just kind of uses his grappling hook to grab the guy by the leg, and he starts reeling him in, and just as the dude gets in the doorway, he shoots the control panel, and the doorway begins to close in.
It's like a circular doorway, right?
And you can pretty much figure out what's going to happen after that.
He gets mauled.
But he's still alive.
He could be. I mean, it depends on his species.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
That would have to be my favorite.
Is that your favorite?
I just liked, not even specifically that part at the end. I mean, that part was cool and all, but just the
battle in that.
Yeah,
cantina.
it was very... Western, like a saloon fight.
Yeah.
It was a lot like that.
And it tells you that the Mandalorian is not playing around. This dude is all business. He's...
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about
take no prisoners unless, you know, it helps with his bounty.
It's hard for me to pick a specific clip or a scene, but I will tell you that just generally from start to finish, the beauty of this trailer and what they've done with this show and where it's going to be is just mind-boggling. It is going to be a feature film every quality show every single week. And it should be. If they're spending $15 million per episode times 10 episodes, it should be like that. But the reality is it's just gorgeous. But I did love... When I think of this trailer, I think about that opening shot with the helmets because it's just – it grabs you right away. Mm-hmm. But I just can't help but see in my mind's eye the Ravencrest, you say?
I believe it's called the Ravencrest.
The Ravencrest flying across that desert planet with the massive cracked earth underneath it. It's just gorgeous, that shot.
And it's a cool landscape. It's very Star Wars-y.
Yeah.
It's an earth – like it's something that we're familiar with. But then it's just alien enough to where...
Because it's
like
massive it's the way that it's cracked. Right. And this tiny little ship is flying over it.
Just genius.
With it. Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
You were saying that this has like a movie feel every episode. That was one of the things I noticed about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is every episode had a much lower quality than other films.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Which, I mean, it wasn't horrible and off-putting, but it did limit them as to what they could do.
Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. felt like a TV show.
Yeah.
And that's why you never could, you couldn't ever truly see, except for Coulson, really, anybody from S.H.I.E.L.D., any like plot lines from S.H.I.E.L.D., any characters from S.H.I.E.L.D. transitioning to the big screen, just because it just didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. It would have been jarring to see them go from the small screen to the big screen, back to the small screen. Anybody and any character and any ship and anything in Mandalorian could go to a feature film and it would fit perfectly within that. It was gorgeous. Did you guys know they gave you some? They've given us character breakdowns on 5 characters.
No,
since
I did not
then, in the interviews following that panel, they announced to Entertainment Weekly tiny bits of the descriptions of characters and their names. So of course we have the Mandalorian played by Pedro Pascal. We don't know what his real name is.
Oh, really?
But we do know he has another real name. They have made that very clear.
Okay.
Okay. He is a bounty hunter as his job, which I think we knew that. And the detail that they revealed about him was he likes to work alone and is rather attached to his stuff. So
interesting.
Nothing really revelatory in that.
No, they're kind of cool.
Then we have Moff Gideon, played by Giancarlo Esposito. His job is he's a regional warlord of sorts.
That the guy we saw at the beginning of the first the little scenes.
No, that you're thinking of the guy played by Werner Herzog, the older guy.
Oh yeah,
that's not the same guy.
The guy with the Death Troopers.
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah, Giancarlo Esposito plays him. Yeah, his detail is the Moffs were sector governors of the First Galactic Empire, but now that the Empire has collapsed, the governors are on their own, and some still have armies at their behest, and this one is rather ambitious, which means he was a Moff within the Empire before this, which makes sense because he has these Death Troopers.
Yeah, which are all the elite. So we're going to see this psycho warlord trying to hold on to this one planet that he's got, or this one region that he's got.
I think it's Tatooine is part of it.
That's the vibe I'm getting from it, yeah.
Absolutely. Any thoughts on that, BB Nate?
I mean, I did see, speaking about Moffs, I did see that somebody was like, maybe Grand Moff Tarkin might be coming back.
What?
Yeah, I don't think
the
that's
the dude possible. Was blown up. Yeah, he's atomized. So,
there's lots of things you see on social media that don't make sense.
Well, he put it into detail.
Okay.
And it's not like one of these, like, Reshmi. It actually makes a lot of sense. Okay. In one of the Clone Wars episodes, there is this tech that can project real-life holograms anywhere. It's portable.
So he wasn't there.
He wasn't there. That's why he didn't want to leave. And his
that isn't trying. Happening. Okay.
I mean, I'm just like... It was cool and all, but it won't work.
We're already reviving the actor.
Then we have Cara Dune, played by Gina Carano. Her job, this one's really interesting. Yeah, she was a UFC fighter, and then she was in Deadpool.
Oh, with that. Yeah. I don't know why.
And she was also in, I think, one of the Fast and the Furious movies.
Okay.
Her job, interestingly, former shock trooper turned mercenary.
So she's ex-Empire.
Oh, yeah.
And she's fighting the Empire.
Yeah, well, we don't know that. She's kind of gone on her own. I mean, she had to survive, and the Empire's gone, so we don't know whose side she really is on.
She's on her side.
A mercenary. A mercenary is someone who's a paid gun. You know, you fight for whoever's going to pay you the most at that point.
Interesting.
And then the detail about her was that she fought in the Galactic Civil War under the banner of the Rebellion. So she was a shock trooper apparently before. So she did choose sides. She was a shock trooper before the Rebellion. And then during the Galactic Civil War, after the Battle of Yavin and Scarif and all that, throughout the Return of the Jedi film, she was fighting with the Rebellion.
So she's a Rebellion character. And now she's just on her own. Interesting.
Kind of like Sabine.
Kind of like Sabine, yeah. Very much so. Then we have Carl Weathers' character, Apollo Creed. Greef Karga. He is the leader of the Bounty Hunters Guild.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I can see him in my head. Okay. So he's basically the guy who gives all the bounty hunters their jobs?
Essentially, yeah. Which is interesting. Who was the previous leader of the Bounty Hunters Guild? Do you guys know? Clone Wars era. End of the Clone Wars era.
I really want to say Jabba, but that's not right.
Do you have any idea? BB Nate?
No,
it's Boba. Boba Fett was at the end of that. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
That and when, in the Dark Disciple book, he was the head of the Bounty Hunters Guild.
Oh.
That's right.
So this guy, Greef Karga, is...
Jabba in episode 4.
He was hired by Jabba. The Bounty Hunters Guild was hired. Okay. Details. He asks the Mandalorian to take on an assignment that nobody else wants. As this Bounty Hunter leader. So, and then we have... This one's actually kind of funny. IG-11. Voiced by Taika Waititi from Ragnarok and other stuff. His job is he is a bounty hunting droid.
Which isn't uncommon. IG-88 was like that.
But here's where it gets funny. He's often mistaken for the famous IG-88 in the show.
Really?
Yeah. That's so funny.
Oh, that's going to be a fun running joke.
This is madness.
Yeah. Just as fans watching the trailer have mistaken him as IG-88 in real life, is what it says. There's a running gag throughout the series of people, like, him going places and people thinking he's IG-88 when he's IG-11.
That's funny.
At least adding some comic relief to the series.
This is going
to
be a pretty heavy show.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited.
So, I'm really excited.
My little crazy theory that is not true at all, just was kind of a funny thought to think of, was that since that little girl we've kind of saved...
In the trailer,
mm-hmm. the one he apparently has a bounty and then saves, is kind of like our rumor right now. And his ship... This is so stupid. His ship looks a lot like the ship that drops off Rey.
I don't think it looks at all like it.
Doesn't look at all like it.
If you look at the back, it kind of does.
It doesn't look like it at all.
It's not Rey.
No, it was just a funny thing.
It's not. The time frame doesn't work.
Well, I was just pointing out that was probably the only reason it could have been in the timeline. It had some importance to the...
That's interesting.
Age of Resistance.
Well, guys, it's finally official. Kenobi is back.
And we do have one more announcement. After secrets and fibs and not being able to talk about it, I am thrilled to bring out a beloved member of the Star Wars family. Music swirls.
So obviously Ewan McGregor is walking out on stage right now at D23, so that's why the crowd is going nuts. There's a giant image of Obi-Wan Kenobi behind him at this point.
Kathleen, can you ask me in front of all of these people, all of these witnesses, can you please ask me, am I going to play Obi-Wan Kenobi again?
Ewan?
Yes?
Are you going to play Obi-Wan Kenobi again?
Yes.
The relief in his voice when he says that. And it's like giddiness.
It's been 4 years of saying, well, I don't know, we've been talking, or maybe if they call me, I'd be happy. But now I can say, yes, we're going to do it.
We are really close. We have all the scripts written. We are ready to start shooting next year. We could not be more excited. So, can't wait to start production.
Let's do it.
We have our own.
All right, guys. What do you think? What did you think about the announcement? See, BB Nate, you go first.
That was just really cool. Especially for him, I think. I think he was like, oh my gosh. I think he was happy to be able to play Obi-Wan Kenobi again. But just
I think he's wanted to since the prequels end.
Right. He loves playing the character as much as he loves
watching. And the relief that you can just hear, and not let alone see in some of the videos that people have recorded.
Yeah.
It's just so... I don't know. I guess you could say overjoyed to be able to say that.
Yes, to finally be able to say yes to that question when he asked for so long. What did you think about the announcement and the way that everybody was reacting, the crowds and everything else?
It's unbelievable. I can't imagine what it would have been like to actually be there. But, you know, I mean... Not only am I happy that we get to see Obi-Wan Kenobi again, but I'm just happy for Ewan and the fact that he's going to be able to do what he loves again, and he's not going to have to be, you know, saying, I don't know, maybe, you know, anymore. But I'm kind of disappointed.
About what?
That he didn't say, he came out on stage and say hello to
anybody. Yeah, I think that was so cliche that they decided not to.
Oh, the fans didn't.
It would have gone nuts, but, and honestly... If the leak hadn't come out a week earlier about the possibility that this was happening at the, you know, that he had signed the contract and that they were going forward, I think they might have done it differently with the hello there thing. But at this point, it would have been like, what's the point at this? But it was so fun to watch that. What blows my mind is what she says at the end, though.
Yeah.
The scripts are written.
They're ready to film next year.
There's some speculation, like on Collider Movie Talk today, Christian Harloff was speculating that filming begins in February and that this thing is going to hit next cycle in November of 2020 is the first episode. They're going to start doing it between four, or from what I'm hearing, is 4 and 6 episodes with Ewan directing a number of those episodes himself. It's almost assuredly, like we said on the previous episode of our podcast, that they had this already planned out with Solo, but this is... like going to be exciting, which I wonder if we don't see some Kira and some maybe some Crimson Dawn, and could we get Lando? Could we get Han? I question getting Han only based on the fact that in the cantina in A New Hope, it's as if they've never met. Mm-hmm. Kenobi and he has never met.
And I'd be worried about Kira, too, because it seems like at this point that Kira and Maul are going to be really, really close. Like, wherever one goes, the other will be there. So
we'll have to wait and see.
I don't think you see Kira.
Later on, after the panel, Kathleen Kennedy was being interviewed by Entertainment Weekly as well. And because they got exclusive interviews, because they always do. Maybe that's us next year. Anyway. Hold on.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
You're right. Okay. She was interviewed by them and she said, internally, we've wanted this for so long, but we know how much the fans want it too. And we know we have to get it right. I mean, the expectations over a Kenobi series, you can't get any higher.
No.
Right. Than that. It says McGregor wanted to come back. He's so excited to play the character of Obi-Wan again. He really does embody who Obi-Wan is. And then she says something, and I've been trying to find out where this came from, but she says, and to think that Alec Guinness was really his mentor, and now he's stepping into those shoes for this series, it's really exciting. Now, I'm not sure if that meant, like, in general he was a mentor in his acting career, or if Sir Alec Guinness, who didn't die until after the prequels were shot, I don't think, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm going to look it up. But anyway... I think that he must have, like, coached him on the character. He didn't die till 2000, so Phantom Menace was definitely out before he passed.
Yeah.
And so maybe Ewan worked with him
a little bit,
on that. So that's pretty exciting. Any final thoughts on the idea of a Kenobi series?
I can't wait for it to get here. I know we've been waiting for so long, and we can... wait longer, but it's just going to be a lot of fun to see it.
It'll be a lot less anxious of a wait now that we know it's actually happening.
Yeah, or more.
That's good.
I want to be an extra. But then again, I want to be an extra in anything Star Wars. So.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so on Saturday, guests attending the Walt Disney Studios panel at D23 Expo 2019 were treated to a montage of classic Star Wars film moments followed by new scenes from The Rise of Skywalker. Information quickly made its way to the general public, including the fact that the closing scene is of Rey wearing a Sith robe and wielding a double-bladed lightsaber. But when the footage was officially released to the public on Monday, no one was prepared for what they actually saw. We're breaking it down next.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so I'm not really quite sure how to even start breaking down this trailer. We have decided that we're not going to go ahead and play the trailer and do like a reaction to it. It doesn't work as well on audio. I watched it two or three times today to make the decision as to whether or not we were going to include it and then try to talk over it. But we would end up spending the entire thing because there's no video with us. Just trying to explain what's happening on screen. Right. And so there's no point in doing that. Why don't we just explain what happened?
So just go watch it.
So go watch it and then come back and let us break it down. So I'm going to count down from five. There we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you're back, then watch it. We're talking about it. All right. So the trailer or the teaser begins with a whole montage of saga era films. The saga films, classic scenes. You know, it opens with Luke on Tatooine with the binary sunset. It, you know, it shows some of the best moments from A New Hope, then Empire, then Return of the Jedi. It shifts back in time to Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith. We'll come back to that in a second because there was a voiceover. We've heard this voiceover from the original Rise of Skywalker trailer, but it actually plays over some scenes that I think are actually there on purpose. We'll talk about that at the end. It then goes from there and it shifts to scenes from Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. It's at that point that we start getting new content on this. We start by, we see our crew, you know, our Han, Leia, Luke, Chewbacca group from the sequel trilogy. So we have Rey, of course. We have Finn. We have Poe. We have Chewbacca, and we have C-3PO. I believe that's all that's there. We don't have an R2.
There, I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think R2.
There may have been an R2 or a BB-8 in there.
I'm gonna look here in just a second, but keep going.
I forget now. You let me lose.
No, but it doesn't look like there's any of that in there. So okay. Yeah, so they're standing there and they're looking over what is a desert planet. You know, if we didn't have previous announcements from the Vanity Fair series and stuff like that, we would be speculating as to whether or not this is Tatooine. It's not. This is clearly Passana.
How many desert planets are there?
Yeah, deserts are everywhere, man.
Star Wars Galaxy.
But there's this like festival or this celebration. They come up to the plateau and they're standing over and they're looking over this. I mean,
there was an official name for it. I forget what it was. I think it was Kai Kai Festival.
Okay. The Aki Aki. The Aki Festival. Okay. So they're like, there's like almost, you know, like when they throw the dust and stuff on a color run.
Yeah.
It's like fireworks made out of that kind of stuff that seems to be blowing up. And there's like banners and they're dancing. And what's really interesting as they look at the celebration, guys, look at this with me. If you look at Poe, if I can get to it, I'm going to actually see if I can go back and play it real quick. Look at Poe's face. Oh, it didn't do it. Oh, it's in a second, though. Okay. There's a sequence there. Right here. Look at his face, right? Poe is looking at the crowd, and look at that. He looks almost like he's relieved. Like he's closing his eyes like he's relieved to either see that or upset that he's seeing it. Like he's devastated about maybe what's going to happen.
Right, like they may be
in danger.
Crossfires.
Exactly. They may be getting caught up in this.
That's a good point. Yeah, I see that in his face too.
You see what I'm talking about, maybe, Nate? Where he starts to sigh.
But it's only him.
It is.
Maybe he has personal connection with this planet somehow.
I don't know. We'll have to see. So then it goes from that, and we get a shot. Of course, they're overlooking this, and then it switches from there to a shot of Leia. She's wearing the same outfit that we see in the original Rise of Skywalker trailer when she embraces Rey. So it's pretty clear here that this is the same moment. If you look in the background on the original trailer, it's a foresty planet. We've got the same scenario. She's like kind of a loving, like a parental smile. I'm not saying that that means that she's the mother. I'm just trying to describe the type of smile, like a proud, caring smile is what she's overlooking on that. And we get it cuts to a title screen. It says the story of a generation. And then we get this massive group of resistance ships that are coming out of hyperspace. Yeah. There's this one, I think originally when they showed it at the D23, a lot of people thought this one ship in there looks like a big tanker or a bomber was the Millennium Falcon. It's pretty not. Clear when you're looking at it again that it's not. But you've got X-Wings, you've got A-Wings, you've got B-Wings, you've got Y-Wings all in here. And you've got a ship that looks, it's a blockade runner.
It is a blockade runner.
Which we've been seeing the blockade runner. We see it in the Rise of Skywalker first trailer. Now we see it in this. I think that's really interesting. What are the odds, BB Nate, from your opinion, do we see this, them tying it all together and bringing the Tantive IV?
I didn't think that ship could stay around that long.
Yeah, I thought I don't know why, but in my head, I thought it was gone.
Well, it was captured, so I guess maybe that's where we're coming from. Yeah. It was captured at the beginning of A New Hope. So, I mean, I could see where you guys would wonder about that. The other thing that's really interesting on this is you guys notice they're coming out of hyperspace in the atmosphere.
Really?
There's a sun behind it. Like, they're in the atmosphere.
Well, it could be, like, the planet's above them.
It could be.
And that's space underneath.
It's possible, but it kind of looks to me like they are coming.
You can kind of see it both ways. I see where you're going with it.
Which is interesting, because who's the first person to have done that?
Tell you what.
To come out of hyperspace in the planet's atmosphere.
Hera.
No.
Well, she did.
No, she didn't. Not in atmosphere. Han. Right. I only try. I never answer that until I try it. When they come and in The Force Awakens, when they're coming to Starkiller Base, he's Rey asks about that and he does it.
But the feet wasn't being in the atmosphere; it was getting past the shield.
Yeah, getting past the
shield. Okay.
But I mean, again, it's kind of you can see it either in the planet or out of the planet.
The funny thing is we see B wings. We haven't really seen B wings that much,
or Y wings. We haven't seen Y wings.
We haven't seen them hardly at all.
Yeah,
I mean, we've seen Y-Wings more in the movies, but we've barely seen any B-Wings inside
at all.
The movies.
Yeah, right.
But they're there. There's like four or five of them in that one shot.
Oh my gosh, we might get Jason and Hera Syndulla. I'm like,
wouldn't that be cool?
Love that. Yes, I would love that. A grown-up Jason and an older Hera.
Even Jason, something to tie into.
Mm. As old as like Sabine when she was the first gunner.
Yeah, that would be interesting on that. Okay, so then it immediately goes from the Resistance fleet coming out of hyperspace to, I would say, is it inappropriate for me to say scores of Imperial Star Destroyers?
I mean, it's a lot. It is. A lot.
I mean, I'm easily counting, 50 to 60 at least just on the screen in that second shot.
And it looks like it goes past the frame, too.
Yeah, they extend beyond that. And they're in perfect...
And they're in this perfect, order.
My understanding is in Legends, Palpatine had this power, I don't remember what it's called, but he used it to organize, forces using the Force to make them the most effective as possible. So there's some that are speculating that may be going on here. I don't think that's the most important thing from the shot beyond the Star Destroyers, though, is there's clearly a lightning storm going on. You guys notice that?
Yes, but you've got to notice that these Star Destroyers are Empire-era Star Destroyers.
I think so, too. They are Imperial Star Destroyers. They are not First Order.
That means that's the secret fleet from the...
the contingency.
Unknown regions.
They've gone in. And this is Ray Sloan. This is Gallius Rax. This is the people from Aftermath that lead this group into the unknown regions.
A reputable source, i.e. Star Wars Underworld, said that
these totally
are in Imperial... He listed this picture and was like Imperial Star Destroyers.
Oh, it's
yeah, it's very totally clear. Imperial. But I still don't think that... I mean, that's an important element. This seems to be the Emperor's contingency plan coming to fruition, which we talked about a couple episodes ago our main topic with that. But do you guys notice all the lightning?
Yes.
Yeah, I noticed that. I kind of... My first gut thought was the Kessel Run.
Yeah.
Just because we've seen a Star Destroyer in that environment and it just kind of fit.
One Star Destroyer.
As opposed to...
I don't think this has anything to do with Kessel.
No, it's not. That was just a first...
It has a Force Lightning element to it.
It does look...
It's blue lightning.
Right.
Okay? Now, here's something else that's really important. There is a Force ability that Palpatine had in Legends.
Okay, we're getting into Legends territory here.
But it could, a lot of stuff from Legends have been made canon.
Okay.
It's called Force Storm.
Okay.
And Force Storm was, according to Wikipedia, which I actually believe is a reputable source.
Because of the listed Turbis's canon.
Is that why?
Well, that's one reason. Force Storm was a volatile dark side force power capable of creating hyperspace wormholes.
Okay.
Hold on to that thought. That were able to displace objects across vast distances and tear apart the surfaces of entire planets. Storms were incredibly difficult to control once unleashed and required mastery in many different force disciplines. But in Legends, Darth Sidious Palpatine had mastered Force Storm with this. I don't think that it's going to be used to destroy and rip apart planets. That seems like more...
But
that's like Nihilus from an Old Republic almost.
But I do think it's interesting that it talks about being able to transport spacecraft and things through wormholes. So if it's coming from some far distant area of the unknown regions, could Palpatine be using Force Storm to bring these ships into this battle?
Harebrained idea, but what if Palpatine is the storm, sort of like Bendu?
No, yeah, I mean, that's true. I hadn't thought about that from that perspective.
He very well could be.
Explain more what you mean for those that may not be familiar.
Of season
three
of Star Wars Rebels, Bendu, this giant creature on this, I forget what the planet is, he's this wise, Force-sensitive, who never takes a side as Jedi or Sith. He's just... The Bendu, that's what he calls himself. At the end, the planet's under attack, and Bendu gets really upset, not at the fact that they're attacking the rebels, just at the fact that they're destroying the planet. And he, like, uses this weird force power to where he
takes out
a storm.
Yeah.
This giant storm with lightning.
That's an interesting thought. I don't think he'd
that ever. Takes down the AT-ATs and all this stuff.
I've listened to lots of videos and podcasts today while I was doing my admin stuff at my work today. I have not heard anybody mention the Bendu and his storm with that. That's an interesting point.
In canon.
Yeah. So. Do you think that this could be, like, Force Storm or...
I
know you're going to say I don't know, but,
this
like...
This is just... I feel like that this whole movie will be too big for us to understand, even after the movie ends.
Like, you'll go back and watch it, like, 15 times and still learn new things?
Right.
Yes, like, I think we're going to see some crazy Force stuff. I mean, we saw some crazy stuff in The Last Jedi with the Force projection. I mean, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see some crazy stuff.
Have we seen any crazy Force stuff in Force Awakens?
I don't necessarily remember anything to... Just... Ray being able to conjure up the Force that quickly.
Yeah.
So after that, we shift. I think it's meant for us to at least expect this to be Finn and Janna in a ship overlooking all of those Star Destroyers.
It's heavily implied.
There is an A-Wing that goes through in a battle in the background. You can see it. There's a lightning, there's a laser bolt, a blaster bolt coming at that. There is a guy also sitting behind them. There was like some speculation. It looks similar to that, yeah. I mean, he is wearing an X-Wing type helmet. But this must be on that big tanker or something like that. Some people have speculated that they're on the Falcon.
It
would have to be a retrofitted Falcon with multiple seats.
Cockpit.
Which is what they've done at Galaxy's Edge.
Right, no, but this cockpit, you can just tell from the angles and everything, not only are the windows wrong, but it's not wide enough for that. And so they would have to literally just chop off the old cockpit and throw in a huge...
And they can't have what looks like three seats in a row.
Yeah. This looks like it's a big tanker of some sort, maybe.
So it's that big tanker
or thing from the fleet. Or maybe even the Tantive IV or whatever that blockade runner is, but it's not the Falcon.
Yeah. No. So then it goes to... obviously, it's continuing the title crawl, the title... word titles on their story of a generation. Then it comes up to after Janna and Finn comes to an end, and then we get what was my first screenshot from this entire thing. That was like immediately what I screenshotted when I watched this video. You have Goldenrod himself, C-3PO in some type of a ship with red glowing eyes.
Now this isn't the first time he's done this in canon.
He's done this in canon?
Yes.
What else?
He did it in Doctor.
No, no, that's not him. That's exactly triple like zeros. It's Doctor Aphra's absolutely evil. I've been researching it all day.
Okay,
absolutely evil protocol droid that looks almost identical to
him
with a different paint job, but it has red eyes. But it is evil.
Yeah,
it is like one of the most considered like
what
totally
it is he's an expert at torture.
Yes,
like. Literally knows how to get information out of any creature.
He was talking to Triple Zero, the little astromech kind of
thing. No, Triple Zero is BT. Triple Zero, or
BT is the little one. He's Triple Zero.
Yeah. Oh, he's Triple Zero. So BT, he was talking to BT after they tortured a guy. And BT asked if humans combust.
Spontaneously combust.
And he's like, no, they don't.
Oh, jeez.
He's one of the coolest droids in Star Wars. But
so
anyway.
why do you think his eyes went red?
Well, from what I'm seeing, if you look at the clip, it kind of looks like he's rising up out of a chair. So I think at this point, he's just been retrofitted and modded to where he is.
Oh, that's
now
a really good point.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
He's kind of like almost like Vader at the end of 3.
Or he's in some type of a tank or something like that.
I think he's just gotten up out of a chair and he's just been like upgraded or something, or just gotten a weapon system put in place.
That's bizarre.
I think he's just undergone some serious modifications.
Well, why I said that whole triple zero thing is because somebody must have fan made it and made him gold, because it was literally a gold.
Oh, that's interesting.
Version.
Yeah, no, it's clear. And Anthony Daniels tweeted out today about him. Everybody was saying, I shared this photo on Instagram, or excuse me, on Twitter, and lots of people were suggesting it was Triple Zero, and then Anthony Daniels tweeted out about him being this character, so it's clearly him.
So maybe what we saw in the that leaked poster is
with
actually
him holding a weapon.
Yeah, we thought he was just a pack mule, but he might just be using all those weapons.
It's very possible. Then we shift to these massive blaster cannon bolts or whatever coming from space, apparently, down onto this snowy, rocky planet. Obviously, this goes back to our episode 2 episodes ago where they were talking about the Super Star Destroyers that were had Death Star technology.
Yeah, sort of.
Apparently seems to be that. But the planet, it looks rocky and it looks snowy. So that to me suggests this is where Zori Bliss is from.
Yeah, that one scene we saw with the weird ship.
Yep.
Yeah,
which is where we think Rey's, the connection to the Force Awakens with Rey from
like
that ship.
Planet, yeah.
This I'm is Kijimi, okay with, is what it's almost certainly Kijimi is the name of the planet.
And I'm happy with the way this looks. Now, it is a big laser beam from space, but it's not so powerful that it's like the Starkiller or the Death Star, or even like the single reactor ignition from the Death Star that we saw in Rogue One. This is doing considerably less damage compared
to
this.
They're having to use, as we see, 2 blaster bolts just to do this small amount
of
damage.
2 blaster bolts, what are you talking about?
Yep. So if you go to the beginning of the shot...
No, that's just a pulsation.
Well, if you go to the beginning of the shot, it looks like 2 different ones.
Oh. No, it's just like it's pulsating.
Yeah, okay.
But it's not nearly as powerful. It's not a super weapon. Sure, it's doing a lot of damage, but it's not like the Death Star.
But this is obviously Kijimi that we're dealing with.
Or it looks very similar.
No, it is. It's got to be Kijimi. Then it shifts to Rey. Now, I think Rey is back. She's in her classic Rey costume for the most part.
Well, it's that white...
With the new version of it, right? She's on the planet where we saw Leia earlier.
The jungle planet.
The jungle planet where she was smiling earlier in this
and we've seen
trailer.
Pictures of
right,
them.
Right. And she's pulling... It looks like she's pulling the lightsaber out of something, or cutting a tree down or something is what it looks like in the next clip. And she throws it, and it's like she's throwing it at a training droid.
It looks like a training droid.
Like from A New Hope. And she misses it, or it moves.
It moves just out of the way.
And it takes out a tree.
And then she just...
And then it looks as if she brings it right back. But that's a different scene.
Yeah.
If you go to the next clip, she's holding a stick and she's got this red ribbon on her arm. But that's not what's going on when she throws this. So it's that's a little bit of classic J.J. Abrams misdirection, cutting those two scenes together.
Because it looks like it flows very well.
Right. I mean, it was said in the previous, or from those that saw it at D23, they were calling it a boomerang throw. I don't think it's a boomerang throw. It looks like two different things. Maybe she is calling it back. But, you know, she's holding a staff, a stick of some sort.
Which is probably replacing her old staff. So what happened to her old staff?
Well, that may just be something she's using. But she's got this red ribbon. What's the red ribbon?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm saying it's training from the Force Ghosts. Maybe it could be training
tactic.
You know, there's some people that speculate that the scene with Leia that we saw earlier in the teaser is around the same scene. And that Leia is training
Rey.
But she's not had any training, really.
She did. She got training from Luke. It's mentioned in Bloodline. It's mentioned in some other spots in canon that she did get some training from him. We just don't know how much. And, I mean, let's just remember she used the Force to save her life and then float back into the ship in The Last Jedi with the
Which is not that
Carrie Poppins
as we've
thing.
Seen in Rebels. He didn't really use much to get back into the hangar.
And Rebels doesn't take a lot of force to do that. All right, so then from there, it goes to the scene where Kylo has just landed his whatever that tie is. What are they calling that?
I don't know. I don't think it has a name
yet.
No,
it doesn't have a name yet. No.
Okay. It's the one that you see at the very opening of the original teaser for this. Now, some people have said because it's blue and all, and it looks... I mean, are you seeing desert or are you seeing snow? Guys.
I'm seeing snow.
You're seeing snow?
I'm seeing a lot of rocks that look like could be on a desert. I say desert.
Looks like
there's
cracked earth. Well, we'll talk about that. The cracked earth. It's clearly desert. You can see it underneath his feet.
Yeah, it is.
And you've got... It's the same TIE silencer. It's almost as if this... Or TIE, whatever this thing is. And then there is, like you were saying, Sam, there's that lightning is all around again. So why don't we connect in our heads for a second those two trailers and just do some reasonable, some like safe speculation here, which we're completely okay with being wrong, or at least I am. I mean, I know you guys are
I'm
too.
Not. I
no, you know what I mean. Right. I'm the one that's doing the speculating,
right.
And I'm okay with being wrong on this. But what if at the opening of The Rise of Skywalker, the original teaser, that's that desert Passana planet. You have this confrontation that begins. At that very same moment, you have the Resistance fleet land coming into the atmosphere. You have all of a sudden all of those TIEs, or excuse me, those destroyers, Imperial destroyers coming in. You have this Force storm breaking out using this Palpatine power, right, through this. And that's what you're seeing here. It's like he's just landed or crashed or whatever after.
It looks like a pretty safe landing.
Another happy landing.
Yeah, because he's on his wings and, yeah. I feel like this scene has to be before the scene that we see in the beginning of the trailer, because unless it was classic JJ misdirection, which I don't think it is, Rey should have either cut the ship in half or cut one of those wings off. And he wouldn't have had this nice little landing. So this scene has to be before that scene.
It doesn't have to be. She didn't have to cut those off.
Well, assuming she did.
Yeah, see, now I don't know understand that, because I never once, when I originally saw the trailer, thought she's cutting it in half. Everybody keeps saying that,
because
but I never took
exactly
that.
Exactly the way her saber is going.
I never got that.
Watch the trailer. I will show you.
Well, we'll watch it later.
It is going at an angle that would cut the ship
okay.
in a pretty significant manner. Anyway, so I feel like this scene has to be before that.
There's a reason that we don't see the end of that shot.
Yes.
Oh, I know that. That's why I said it could be just classic JJ misdirection.
Right. But then obviously he's exited his tie, and now he's walking through this desert with this blue glow and darkness around him, and he ignites that red classic Kylo Ren lightsaber as he's continuing on. Mm-hmm. And then again, force
like
lightning everywhere.
Too,
he's like scraping the ground with it. Mm-hmm. This is like temper tantrum Kylo Ren.
Yeah, he's pretty upset.
Getting ready to go here. And then it cuts. And it's to the you know.
It's amazing J.J. Abrams' misdirection.
Why do you say this is misdirection?
Why? Right here. Get that vibe.
Because it just went from one scene to the next. Yeah. It's clear that this is a completely different scene.
It's just some pretty good transitioning.
Right.
I would say.
You have Kylo and you have Rey on what is, I think, pretty much agreed upon at this point, part of the Death Star 2.
Right.
And you can see back there is some more wreckage in the very back.
In the very back of the screen,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I see it.
And they're battling, and they're in the ocean of some sort, and there's this... The waves are crashing all around them. It's from the poster. It's the same scene from the poster that they released at the D23.
Maybe.
You know, on the tower there.
Different tower, though, I think. But it has a very... end of episode 3 feel. Anakin versus Obi-Wan
on Mustafar.
It's got a very similar feel to that.
But instead of lava, you're dealing with ocean.
Right. Also,
they're just going after each other. Like, just, it's awesome.
Yeah, kind of side note though. The poster, someone found out that, or it speculated that tower they're on looks really similar to the tower. The tractor beam control tower that you see Obi-Wan
right
on episode 4. I mean, it looks very similar. That doesn't look like that in this scene, but then again, posters and trailers are often a very different looking things, but I just thought it was interesting.
So they're battling with each other on what's inevitably the Death Star. And then you hear, in the background, you hear a voice.
Well, it cuts to black first, right?
No. It would.
Kind of. You hear Darth Sidious, you hear Palpatine in the background. And what he says is, your journey nears its end. As it cuts to black is when you hear nears its end. So while they're battling, you hear your journey. Then it cuts to black for a few seconds. And there's this pause, pregnant pause, this gap where you're mm-hmm. just kind of waiting for something to happen with it. And then you hear him finish it and he says, your journey nears its end. So right. He finishes the statement. What's interesting about that is then you also hear, what else do you hear in the background with that?
Some like, sounds like some screaming at some points, kind of like a ton of different sound effects, but it sounds a lot like what Rey heard throughout her whole visions in The Force mm-hmm. Awakens.
It does. But what else?
Predominantly, you hear Vader's breathing.
Yeah.
Which is also in her visions.
Oh, yeah, it is. That's true. With that. And then all of a sudden you see something that we knew from all the reports from D23 was going to happen, but I don't think we're really prepared for what we saw.
No.
I had not heard of the lightsaber being described the way that it is.
No,
on
they never went to that extent. No. No.
Everyone had said double-bladed lightsaber.
It's just true.
But it's like...
a fork.
It's like folded together where both blades are pointing to in the same
parallel direction right next to her face,
and you have a hooded Rey mm-hmm. with this like over her face, the red glow from the red Sith lightsabers mm-hmm. over her face, and then of course it's also the lightsabers are unstable. They're like Kylo Ren's.
They're just like Kylo Ren's.
Crackling. And which, is that mean that she's using both parts of that crystal from Luke's lightsaber?
Well, I'm not sure that half a kyber crystal would have enough
power to power two.
Okay.
So,
blades.
But
Making them bleed and turning them into this?
Yeah, I don't think it has enough power. You can't just use half a crystal and expect it to work.
Looks like she repaired it if you're watching the first Rise of Skywalker trailer.
Darth Maul's saber required two crystals.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
But they're like, it's these crackling, massively long hilts parallel to each other. It looks like two lightsabers parallel to each other until all of a sudden she flicks her wrist here and one of them swings down and it latches together and becomes this gorgeous double-bladed lightsaber.
Which, it's funny, I was just scrolling through Facebook earlier and I saw this post of like saber builders who make custom hilts, and they do that exact thing.
Do they
and
really?
Someone said, "Oh, I'm sure these are going to sell out in Anaheim next year."
They're going to sell out before
and
that.
And if you check her back, the background, I think that the background is this, like, really important. It looks like a stone doorway.
It does.
It looks very like it's Sith.
It looks like
architecture.
A temple.
Yeah.
It looks like a First Jedi temple, maybe.
Looks Sith in nature.
Well, it looks like it could be
a Sith temple.
Yeah.
And I feel like this could be either an entrance to a cave. People are saying it's maybe a Force cave vision,
like Dagobah with Luke.
Yeah, like how Luke saw himself.
Very similar. Yeah.
Or it's like a Jedi temple guard or a test, maybe in the Force.
Yeah, one of the things, though, that people point out about Rey is she just doesn't quite look right, which is probably the point. She does look very kind of thin and pale.
Yeah. She looks like the slightest amount different.
Right, but just enough,
but
to,
just
show
enough
that something
to show
that's wrong.
Yeah,
she's
just enough.
She
to
looks
show.
Sick, which would be appropriate if she was in the dark side.
Yeah.
So, I just think that's interesting. But it's funny. I saw this like fan art, which is amazing at how quickly they were able to make this. But it's like Kylo Ren, and he had just finished turning a saber blue, and he's like, "Ah, oh, yes, finally, Rey will hang out with me." And then it shows the red lightsaber or whatever.
That's funny.
Yeah, and if you just even, like, look at the two pictures we have, it just looks the slightest amount different. Just something doesn't either feel right or something.
All right, okay. So the question is, what the heck's going on with Rey?
I feel like it is classic JJ misdirection, something, because he knows, I feel like, we haven't gotten any Star Wars news, really, for the past 2 months. It's been very slow, very difficult for us to know anything to talk about. We've gotten some leaks here and there, but that's not really some much meat. And so for him to release this, it gets people buzzed just enough to have something to talk about until the movie comes out, or till Mandalorian comes out.
And you gotta think back to the Force Awakens trailer. I mean, the first thing you hear is there's been an awakening, have you felt it? And then you see Finn pop up in the desert, right? Heavily implying that it's Finn. And then you see Finn lighting the lightsaber, you know? JJ's not, like, it's not uncommon for him to do this sort of thing. So, I feel like this is just pure misdirection. There's something more going on to this. I don't think Rey's gone dark side. Or he's misdirecting us into thinking that he's misdirecting us, and this is exactly what it looks like. He's like doing a double bluff or whatever.
So,
this is madness.
Yeah,
it's
so
a
it's
bluff.
So wait, they're gonna think I'm misdirecting him, so I'm not gonna misdirect him. I'm actually gonna show him something real, and that's the way the movie ends, but they won't know it because they'll think I'm misdirecting them.
It's so crazy that we think, oh, that can't be the case. because he misdirects us all the time.
I'm gonna be honest, I would not be disappointed. I would be, I guess, let down. I feel like
if that was the final shot, yeah,
or even just in the movie, if she's dark side, I don't feel like that. That doesn't fit right. We've had the last few movies showing her journey to be a light side character. We've had the past every time we've had Luke showing his journey through an orphan who on a desert planet who's an outcast, learning his way to be a Jedi. We see Anakin, yes, he turns bad, but we already expected that. We do not expect that to happen with Rey. I feel like it wouldn't fit. I don't like the idea of it.
I think they could go dark side Rey if they bring it back the right way. They can't just leave her dark side.
Well, then why did they do that?
To further
this. Okay, so let's address this. The first thing that I'm hearing is that there are some people that think that this isn't even actually in the movie, that JJ stuck this in the teaser here in order to, like, the TIE fighter shot in Rogue One or some of that stuff that's going on.
But the Rogue One was just because they had 60% of reshots.
I agree with that.
Yeah. No, I think this will be in the film, just not in the context that we're applying.
Okay. So then how does this happen?
This looks a lot...
I think it's a Force vision.
This looks a lot like, as we see in the first season of Rebels, Ezra's journey through his temple. It seems like his deepest fear happens. We see that with most Jedi finding out when they're going into their first Force-sensitive test.
Or their trials.
Or their trials. Yes, we see the Inquisitor kill Kanan.
And that's...
His biggest fear. I feel like her biggest fear is either A, letting down Luke and going dark side, or just
going
dark side in general.
That's a fair point. It would be really cool to see Rey fighting Rey with a double-bladed lightsaber. That would be...
It would be hard, like what you said, an identical twin. How hard to have two actors.
No, I don't think... I mean, they would even that. They have actors play them... different characters all the time. Yeah. But
I think that would be really... I think you're onto something with the biggest fear. That would make sense. I feel like it'd be really cool.
What if this is Ben Solo's biggest fear? What if he's encountering what he's afraid of, that she will turn to the dark side to this point? Or it's the vision that he saw he talks about in The Last Jedi when he says he sees her joining him.
Or we could go... totally even crazier, and what if this is somehow the Emperor showing Kylo what he wants the most? This is like some, what if you do this,
kind
this
is of what like, could
come out of it. You know?
Kind of like what he did with Anakin. You can save Padme.
Hmm. But then again, Rey seems to be in a offensive fighting, like she's about ready to do something. I don't think if the Emperor was trying to show kind of what he wanted, that would be the case. But so I think it's either Rey's biggest fear or Ben's fear. I don't know about being his vision
or Ben's. I mean, you're on to something with Ben's desire that could be real. I feel like you might be getting into a fighting stance, but that again could be some misdirection on JJ's part.
True.
I feel like that's close to the end of the movie. Pretty close. This may be as Rey is trying to turn Ben. Ben-demption, I guess you could say. And I feel like this is going to be, if he sees this as being his most wanted desire, I feel like that this could be what turns him. Seeing what would happen, I feel like might make him go, like, this isn't right. I was taught better than this.
Interesting. Now I want to go back all the way to April when we saw the original Rise of Skywalker trailer. And a theory that was put forth, I don't think it was original to him. I don't think he's the first person to think about it. But he published it online. We read it. We reached out to him. He actually came on the show and discussed it at length with us. And that is that Rey is a clone. And he used imagery and things that were said in the original trailer to suggest that Rey is a clone. One of the things that he used was the line. I mean, it wasn't just the ships matching from the Force Vision and Force Awakens and then the trailer for The Rise of Skywalker, which those ships, I think, we could pretty safely say are the same ship after watching it and all the conversation about it. I just think it has to be. But it was the quote that Luke says during that trailer that was a big part of that. 1,000 generations live in you now.
I just got like a big realization. I was thinking specifically about the Force and what we've heard of it and what could make the dark side Rey a thing. You gotta think back to Clone Wars, the Mortis arc. Ahsoka is alone in a cave and she sees a dark side version of herself.
Yoda. No, she becomes a dark side version of herself.
Exactly.
Like she gives Yoda sees like this weird spirit version of himself.
Exactly. And we Yoda see, arc. Apparently it's more common than we're actually starting to believe.
And Luke, I mean, in a way...
Luke sees that in the Dagobah.
Sees that as Invader.
So it might be a common theme.
Well, it's interesting, you know, because in this trailer, during the montage, you know, I think it's intended to be just sort of... that series of clips at the beginning from the other saga movies is intended to be just, you know, nostalgia to some extent. But we have that same line, 1,000 generations live in you now, placed over that montage.
Mm-hmm.
We watched it earlier before we recorded the show. I told you guys to be paying attention to what was being said. You guys didn't pick up on this, did you?
I think I picked up on like... couple things.
Well, let me show you guys on this. So we're at Return of the Jedi. We've got Luke looking back. He's all in black, by the way, which is interesting because when he showed up in the trailers for Return of the Jedi in all black, the speculation was he had turned dark.
Did he have a red lightsaber?
No.
Yeah.
But at the time,
yeah,
people weren't paying attention to the colors of lightsabers like they are today with it. So his switch is, then you have Maul go to a double-bladed lightsaber.
Foreshadowing.
Which is really interesting. And then it switches to, you know, of course we've got Ben or Obi-Wan Kenobi and Qui-Gon Jinn. And then we have Shmi. But then you hear the phrase, generations live in you now, come out over this scene from the end of the Attack of the Clones. Who are on those ships?
Mostly clones.
It's almost like JJ is telling us, potentially, that Rey is a clone. Could you imagine if Sith troopers and all of this, there were thousands of clones of Rey, and Rey was stowaway'd on this island by someone that kidnapped her or whatever, and she's fully force sensitive, but she's been hidden on this planet, and now the Emperor is going to bring her back. Now, Jakku was where one of his laboratories was.
Right.
And Jakku had a big play with Palpatine and the contingency.
Right.
At that point, do you think that this may not be the Rey we've seen throughout this series of movies, but that this could be a clone of Rey, a dark side clone? Fellow clone of Rey.
I'm serious. This is not going to happen.
This is exactly
the storyline of the end of Force Unleashed 2. If you watch it wasn't the same guy. There was a dark side version of him all along. The Darth Vader was using him. It was this big old story, and it was exactly the same. I feel like it would be recycled content.
I just don't like the idea in general. I hadn't even thought of that, but you're very right. I just don't like the idea. It just doesn't sit right with me.
And then
it seems kind of, I don't know, I want to say cliche because the plot sounds a bit familiar. There's this one good clone, and they've got to fight many versions of themselves that's bad or whatever. It just seems cliched, and I just don't like it. I don't like it.
So this is primarily what you guys are talking about is one of the storylines, primary storylines of Force Unleashed 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, see, I never played that game. I only played the first one.
Well, we never finished 2. I just watched the game, the playthrough. But I did remember hearing that if, like, I think it's a good ending. You can always do the good or the bad ending. And I think it's a good ending where right at the end there's this big cutscene, you defeat Vader, and then this dark side clone of Starkiller comes and kills the one that you played as.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, he's dying slowly, and then they have this big conversation, and then the game's over.
Okay. So then let's finish out the segment this way. BB Nate, is this, does she legitimately go dark side at least for a point of time? Or is this simply like a vision or something like that?
I feel like it would be a better version to fit within canon if they went with the vision. I feel like it would be a better fit.
Samuel Lahat, does she go dark side at least for a period of time? Or is this simply like a vision of some sort?
I think it's a vision. I don't think it's clones or her going dark side. Honestly, I'm going to say this because I don't say this often about theories or anything we come up with, especially about Star Wars. But if they go the clone route, I'm going to be pretty disappointed about that.
A clone as in like this being
like Rey being a bunch of clones.
What if she's a clone, though, like we've talked about before?
Just like one clone? Just one clone of her?
That's her origin story. Every other clone of her has been destroyed at this point.
Or they were unsuccessful and they didn't have another clone of her.
I would be a little bit better with that. I don't like the idea of there just being tons of clones of her
walking
around.
But again, that is even closer to this end of Force Unleashed 2. Mm-hmm. That there was only one clone.
Yeah. I really don't want them to go down.
Well, no, I'm just saying Rey herself, her origin story is that her parents are nobody. That she was on that. She's a clone, and that when she's asking for who her parents are in the cave and The Last Jedi, and she sees multiple versions of herself, it seems to suggest she is a clone.
Okay. It's a little bit more palatable if she was just this one failed experiment. She's the one of her kind. There's nothing else like her out there in the galaxy at all, ever. That'd be a little bit better. Because then she's less like a clone.
And then I was like to see the battle between those two. Because they both know their own fighting tactics.
What do you mean?
If there was just one.
I just want one Rey.
No, we're saying Rey is a clone. That's it.
I think you're using clone when you should be using like a failed experiment. Because clone is implying that there's multiple versions.
Well, the idea that Anthony put forth on the show, guys, was that Palpatine was harvesting DNA from multiple Jedi and Sith through the generations and using them to create the ultimate weapon.
Right.
And that was who Rey is.
Right.
So are you okay with that version?
Yeah, because it's not really a clone. In my mindset, it's not a clone. I'd be okay with that. It's more like a rogue experiment or something.
Like a puppy breeder, but for Jedi's.
You don't want
that. Can we get a quote of that? A puppy breeder, but for Jedi's?
It's a little strange for me. I just don't like the feeling. I mean, I keep hearing you guys giving these explanations that could work. I just don't... doesn't feel right for me. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's not the direction that Abrams would
we'll have go to wait
for. So, sure. I think we all are, at least Nathan and I, just want her to be fighting like this dark side vision of herself or something.
What about you? What do you think?
I don't know. I'm kind of going into it with not wanting to have like a position entrenched on anything. I want to be open to anything.
And then we also have some like slight J.J. Abrams misdirection, especially in the little saga parts. They're showing Qui-Gon. They're showing Obi-Wan, then Qui-Gon. I mean, they're Maul, and then Obi-Wan, then Qui-Gon. But the thing is Maul and Qui-Gon is the same scene, but Obi-Wan is a scene from later in the fight. That's just...
It is. Yeah, it is.
Fun little thing.
Okay, cool. Well, is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
So, we finally know when the Clone Wars Season 7 will be released.
About time.
Jeez.
We've been asking and trying to figure it out for months. So, it's going to be February 2020. So, that means... we're going to have stuff that happened. You know, I don't know if we'll see any connections to Rise of Skywalker. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. But Resistance will probably have been ended for the second season. It'll be completed. Maybe, I don't know. Excuse me. Apologize. Obviously, Mandalorian will be over at that point, because it'll have been more than 10 weeks for that. So Mandalorian will be done, which is a good time for that to happen.
John Williams himself revealed that the Rise of Skywalker score included 140 minutes of music, 2 hours and 20 minutes. He's already recorded 100 minutes of it from the last announcement we've heard, and he still has those 40 minutes to do.
But that means 2 hours and 20 minutes of music.
Yes.
Right.
No silence included.
Yeah, that means the movie has to be at least 2 hours and 20 minutes with music playing constantly.
Like, literally constantly.
Which...
they can't, like, have any space.
Yeah,
no movie ever, except for, like, Les Mis or something.
No, it still has space.
Yeah.
So, Sam, over and under 3 hours.
I'm going to go over.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you.
You're both going over 3 hours for this.
Maybe
movie.
A minute or two, or maybe.
I'm not saying crazy.
Not crazy. No,
I'm not
like
3 hours and 40 minutes or anything crazy. Maybe not even 3 hours and 30 minutes, but.
Well, Revenge of the Sith was 4 hours before editing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this goes. Disney sneakily reveals a new logo for the original movie, A New Hope. If you guys look at the actual that timeline that we were talking about at the beginning of the show, earlier on in the show, when they show the saga movies titles, you know, Empire, Return of the Jedi are the traditional logos for that, but they've now taken the original sort of that wide text, you know, I have that t-shirt that says Star Wars at the top, then Empire, and then the other like a crawl,
right? Yeah.
That Star Wars logo at the top is this Star Wars thing, but then underneath it just has A New Hope.
Oh, that's cool.
So they're wanting to sort of like honor, it seems, the original title, which was Star Wars.
That's cool.
On that. All right. Well, we want to hear what you guys have to say about this whole Dark Rey thing. How are you feeling after the Dark Rey revelation? Again, if we read your reply on there, you're going to receive a Make Turbis Canon sticker. So we're going to give yourself four options. Of course, the last one's always other comment below, so you can give us your opinion without us tainting it. But the first three are I'm going dark side, meaning you like it a lot. No, like you can't believe it, or you're totally against it. Bad feeling is, I don't know if this is good or not with it. So we want you guys to vote. So make sure you go to our Twitter page, find that tweet. We have it pinned to the top of the page. You can always vote on that as well. I think that's going to do it for the show tonight. I want to thank all of our producers. You guys are amazing. You make this show possible. Thank you for being the awesome supporters that you guys are. DJ Blake, Emily Hoffman, Eric McGilfrey, and Ian Thompson. And then, of course, our senior producers, Kate Disney-Lugers, Judith Jesse, and Roberto Moreno. If you want to become a producer of the show or a supporter and get access to our Crazy Train Wreck version, which is the live version, where we may even stop it and use the restroom partway through, and you don't know that on the recording unless I just said it, or just be a part of what we're doing. Get our sticker of the month club or t-shirt of the month club at $25, whatever you, however you want to participate and support, we would appreciate it. Go to patreon.com/TatooineSons. You can find us all over social media. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. We did a little more on Instagram this weekend. We don't do anything with Snapchat because we don't understand, or at least I don't understand how it works. Thank you again for those of you who have reviewed our show. We ask, if you haven't, for you to please go to iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen and give us a review. It helps immensely. In the immortal words of Gary Vaynerchuk, your comments are our oxygen. So thank you for that. I guess that's going to do it. Is there anything else you want to say?
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Join, please.
Yep, yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.